This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, could a second special counsel be appointed to investigate the investigators? New information suggests the spirit of J. Edgar Hoover may still be looming over the FBI, as emails suggest a secret society that may have had as their goal to stop Donald Trump. House Judiciary Committee member Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona has more. And the NFL has declined a veterans group's ad urging people to stand for the national anthem. Conservative columnist Todd Starnes and host of Todd Starnes Radio will be here to talk about it. Also, here's a shocker for you. The New York Times gets it wrong again. In a story with the headline, Wary, Weary, or Both, Southern Lawmakers Tone Down Culture Wars, reporter Alan Blinder suggests the South is turning soft. True or false? We'll talk about it here later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. By the way, if you go to the website, you'll find information about our upcoming trip to Israel. Still have room for a couple of folks if you'd like to join us. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. We're going to be in Israel April. Actually, last part of April. All kinds of information there about it. We'll be joined by General Jerry Boykin. We'll also have former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. We'll have Ken Blackwell, former ambassador for human rights to the UN. Will be with us as well. So it's going to be a great trip. Obviously, a lot happening in Israel, in the Middle East. So if you'd like to be a part of history, join us. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. There are reports surfacing that the FBI failed to preserve 5 months' worth of text messages exchanged between two anti-Trump FBI employees. Now, these weren't just any employees. These were folks who were helping lead the investigation into the collusion with Russia and the Trump campaign. Now, these may have very well compromised the ongoing investigations. So there is also discussion about, in some of this new data that's been found, a secret society of officials within the FBI that apparently met the day after the election of Donald J. Trump to plot against the president elect. Joining us now is Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents Arizona's 5th Congressional District. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee, which has oversight of the Department of Justice. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about this new information that all of these emails, 5 months worth, I mean, these are thousands of, not emails, text messages that apparently have been lost. This is an issue that the Justice Department, or rather the Judiciary Committee, is looking into and wants answers.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. I mean, this is as you said correctly, is between Peter Strzok and his paramour, who is the attorney for the special investigation, one of the attorneys for the investigation, Lisa Page. And what's striking about this are two things. One of them is there are literally tens of thousands of text messages between these two, and that doesn't even include the 5 months that go missing.
And see, how could they do their work and send this many text messages?
Absolutely. It raises a really stirring question, which is just that. And messages is related to acting out against Donald Trump and plotting against Donald Trump as a candidate and as president. And the other striking thing about this is the timeline that's involved here. These are messages for 5 months that end about the time that James Comey is dismissed, at about the time, and we find out some additional information there through the other messages that we do have, that this was a baked deal to never charge Hillary Clinton. They knew months before she was interviewed. They knew months before they had their press conference. This was baked in so that Hillary Clinton would not be charged. And this is the type of corruption, that apparent corruption, that drives Americans batty. We trust these people. They're the head law enforcement people. And they're now stonewalling Congress. They're not giving us the information. We have another FISA memo we need released to the public. This is the scandal of our time, and it is deep and broad.
Now, folks, let me just fill in a little commentary here. Peter Strzok, who was one of these agents involved, Lisa Page, as Congressman Biggs said. Peter Strzok was not just any FBI agent. He was the chief of counterespionage during the investigation into Hillary's server, and was then number two. He was promoted to being the number two guy in counterintelligence and led the investigation into the Russian election interference, so to speak, until he was removed after at least the first batch of...
Yes. Ayatollahs, by the way. If there's any complementus, in other words, mental stability, it may actually work to the advantage of the five Americans who are being held hostage by the Iranian regime that the previous administration didn't even bother to mention. Well, they need to come home. And that needs to happen because the Congress will stand up and do what's right for a change. Yeah. Robert Levinson, missing for 10 years. Ziyong Wang, who is a Princeton graduate student, sentenced to 10 years for spying. The Smack family, also jailed for the same kind of thing. Absolutely outrageous. President Trump is insisting that Congress get fully invested in what we do about Iran. The list of sanctions that he's asked for is based on bad behavior and failures to comply with a new agreement. It only makes sense. This is a man who knows how to close a deal. It's simple. His idea of a new agreement with Iran will prevent Iran, and I will use his word, from ever acquiring nuclear weapons or the means of delivering.
I think we've got the congressman back on here. Congressman, so this, let's talk about this FISA abuse memo that Chairman Goodlatte earlier this week said may be, or yesterday I guess it was, said they may release to the public. The committee will vote on this. This suggests that the Obama administration was spying on Americans.
Yeah, Tony, you know, I can't talk about the substance of it because it remains a top secret document, but I can just tell you this. This is a document that needs to come out to the public because, I mean, as things are leaking out all over the place about this document, but I will tell you, I've talked about this for months, and this, you're going to find a shocking amount of corruption right there at the top. And I'll tell you what, I'm very discouraged that that report was released after the reauthorization of FISA came into play.
About the timing of that, I really do. When I saw this story, because right before the vote, we had one of your colleagues on, my good friend Ted Poe, who was opposed to reauthorizing some of the surveillance methods and abilities that the Department of Justice has. And this suggests, well, let me just ask you this. You know, Donald Trump was mocked and made fun of when he said that Obama spied on him in his campaign or his transition team. I mean, what was he out in left field?
No. My belief is that President Trump was spied on. I believe other people in his organization were spied on. And I believe that they used the FISA law to do so. And here's the kicker. Ted Poe, Congressman Poe, and I supported his amendment in Judiciary Committee. I supported his, the Amash amendment on the floor. That it didn't even prevent them from gathering information. It just simply said, look, if you're going to go spy on an American, you at least have to have probable cause, just like you do for any other criminal investigation. But they didn't. My colleagues didn't want to do that. But we are finding out now that they breached FISA, the purpose for FISA. They may have actually misled FISA judges, which tells you another thing, that the Fifth Court, the FISA court, is fallible, and it's almost
side of it. There's very little oversight over the FISA court.
That's right. That's right. It's like a star chamber where people go in secret, they come out, and you can't really even know if you're prosecuted. It's very hard to know if what you're being prosecuted for arose out of a FISA warrant or a FISA non-warrant, actually, just a FISA query. And that would be impermissible under their law. But since there's no oversight and everything's done in secret, you need to open it up just a bit anyway so that the American people can have trust in their law enforcement officials, trust in their government. And the trust is eroding daily as more and more comes out back to the memo, back to the, convenient that five months of text messages between two people at the center of the controversy goes missing. 50,000 text messages between these two. You and I haven't even talked about the 10,000 communications that Mr. Mueller seized from the Trump transition team, which is a private entity altogether, without either a warrant or consent. This is the type of stuff that's going on, and it's a massive abuse of power.
Well, Congressman Biggs, based upon this latest revelation of information and the concerns expressed by you and your colleagues, is there support building for the appointment of a second special counsel to investigate the investigators?
Yeah, absolutely there is. I've heard people who've poo-pooed there was a small group of us at first that we could see this. We kept doing our homework. And there were people saying, no. But as more and more comes out, it's amazing. Everybody sees that what we've been saying is accurate. They want a special counsel. I am looking forward to the Inspector General coming out with his report, because that, I think, is going to also raise new issues. And that hopefully that'll be out soon. Actually, we're finally getting some action from the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. But I'll just tell you that the upper echelon of the DOJ and the FBI and the Mueller and special counsel group, they are all riddled and perhaps in some ways dominated by this cadre, if you will, this clique of anti-Trump partisans. And, nobody says that you have to have voted for Trump, given money or anything like that, or that you couldn't have supported Hillary Clinton. But somewhere you have to be able to set it aside and do a fair and objective job of law enforcement. And we're not seeing that. And that's the problem.
To me, it sounds like the days of J. Edgar Hoover are alive and well at the FBI.
Yeah,
Congressman, thanks so much for joining us. This is an issue we're going to track very closely, because I think you are absolutely right. I mean, this does, and when the rest of the Americans find out about it, this shakes the confidence that we have in our country. I mean, we were raising these issues back under Obama, and now we see a lot of these folks burrowed in and continuing this lawlessness. Congressman, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony.
Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, one of the good guys. Check him out. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Look, folks, this stuff has to end. We're seeing the same stuff at the State Department, where you have these career guys dug in, and they're undermining this administration at every turn. All right, when we come back, the NFL refusing an ad from veterans. Wow, what's that all about? Todd Starnes is here next. Don't go away.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right. The NFL, the National Football League, has rejected an advertisement for its official Super Bowl, Bowl 52 program. It was by a group of veterans that urged players and people who attend the game to stand during the national anthem. I mean, you would think that the National Football League, I mean, I wouldn't even think you'd have to do an ad for that. They would want that. That's, you know, that's the whole thing of, I know that's baseball, mom and apple pie, but hey, football can fit in there too. But they've rejected it. With us now is Todd Starnes, conservative columnist and host of the Todd Starnes Show. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Great to be with you.
Now, I know you wrote about this in your latest piece, which people can find at TonyPerkins.com. American veterans accused the NFL of outright censorship by rejecting the advertisement, saying that they have the right to police what messages they send out, and this is a political message. What do you say?
Well, American Veterans is the largest veterans service organization in the country, and they're a nonpartisan group, and they had actually been invited by the NFL to purchase an ad in the Super Bowl program. The ad was featured an American flag with two words, hashtag please stand. When they turned in the ad copy, the National Football League sent them a message telling them they were rejecting the advertisement, in part because of a rule they have about not accepting political or content that might be construed as a political statement, which is the irony of all ironies and the hypocrisy of all hypocrisies.
Now, when did the NFL adopt this policy of not allowing political statements in their ads?
Well, that's a great question. They may not allow it in their ads, but they certainly allow it on the football field before the games during the national anthem. And that's what has so many people outraged, is the sheer hypocrisy here that the NFL is telling people that the act of standing for the national anthem is a political statement.
Well, I mean, that's proper etiquette is what that is.
But I go back to last year's Super Bowl game, in which in the early days of the Trump administration, when all of the corporate heavyweights like Google, Coca-Cola, 84 Lumber, Budweiser, I mean, they were all jumping on board with their leftist controversial political statements about immigration, human sexuality, everything that the American people repudiated in the election that had Barack Obama's fingerprints on them. Those were the ads in last year's election. If those weren't political, I don't know what is.
Well, Tony, I think this is a great illustration of what the NFL has become. You know, we thought that this was isolated, this anti-American spirit was isolated to the football field. But in fact, it appears to have infected the front office of the NFL as well. And our listeners have just exploded on this issue. As a matter of fact, a number of churches, ministers reached out to me and they said, you know what, we were planning on doing an NFL Super Bowl party at the church. We're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to be a part of any organization that that wants to denigrate America and quite frankly, spit on our troops.
Well, Todd, isn't that what a lot of Americans have been doing, especially during the course of this season of the NFL, where they have not been showing up to the games, they've not been watching, and the NFL is almost in free fall?
Tony, Ben, you're absolutely right there. A viewership over this past season down more than 9%. As far as attendance, it's hard for us to quantify that because a number of people who own season tickets, that seat may appear to be sold out, but people are not going to the game. So there were, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've seen pictures of, you know, half-empty stadiums because people are sick and tired of this, and they're tired of coddling these supersized egos of these millionaire athletes.
So what can people do here? The average American who does stand for the flag that respects our veterans and the flag that they fought to defend.
Well, of course, the NFL has the right to, you know, to spit on the American flag and disrespect our troops. They have that right. However, we have rights, too, and we're not required to watch the NFL games. I know a number of our listeners have not only reached out to the NFL, but they've reached out to advertisers and sponsors, and they've let them know that if they continue to sponsor the NFL, they're not going to buy their product or shop at that particular store. So that's one thing people can do. The very simple thing, Tony, is just simply to change the channel.
Yeah, without question. And I'll go back to what you said about some of the pastors that have reached out to you, because I know a lot of churches do this, especially youth groups. They'll have kind of a devotional during halftime, but they'll watch the football game. You know, the whole NFL as an entity is disrespecting the men and women who sacrifice and disproportionately come from many of those churches. Those are the young men and women who disproportionately volunteer to serve this country. And we should not engage with those who disrespect their sacrifice.
And Tony, as the American Veterans Executive Director told me earlier today on our program, you know what? If nothing else, stand up for those soldiers, those veterans, lost their limbs or might be paralyzed and don't have the ability to stand up.
You know, just when I think the NFL can go no further, I mean, there goes another yellow flag. I mean,
it's flat out stupid, Tony. I just don't get it. This seems to be a no-brainer to me.
Well, excellent piece, Todd Starnes. Folks, you can read it, TonyPerkins.com, ToddStarnes.com. Todd, as always, great to have you on the program, my friend. And your program, I hear, is doing great. So glad you're doing well with Todd Starnes' show.
Thanks, Tony. Really appreciate it. Great talking to you again.
All right, folks, Todd Starnes. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And if you don't, I mean, again, you know, read the article. You can see it. It's this is the NFL once again, disrespecting the American flag, playing politics. But in this case, this is a veterans group, okay? And I'm a veteran, all right? I'll be candid. But these were men and women, and in the ad, I think some that had lost limbs as a result of their service. This is unconscionable, and we should not support the NFL. I hope you'll tune out this year's Super Bowl game. All right, when we come back, I want to return to the corruption within the FBI
And then I want to move on to a New York Times story. We'll talk about that next.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. excuse me. I want to go back for just a moment to the story coming out of the FBI. In fact, I'm going to try to get the chairman of the committee on tomorrow and talk more about this, Chairman Goodlatte. This is a let me just draw some lines here, okay? Many of these agencies, even though you get a new administration come in and you appoint a new attorney general, like Jeff Sessions, who's a very good guy, okay? He's a straight shooter. He's good. I know him. I've known him for years. Met with him for Christmas, and he's. He's doing good work, okay? But these agencies are so massive and huge, and so many of the people in there are what they call career service. They're there forever. And, you know, even in the Department of Justice, there are more who have a liberal orientation that are drawn toward government. And now there's some good folks in there, okay? I don't want to paint them all with a broad brush. But there are problems there. And State Department is, I would say, probably five times worse than Department of Justice. It is just horrific. And they are promoting an anti-American State Department, anti-American, anti-family, anti-faith agenda. I'm hearing it all the time. I heard it today. I was talking with a representative of a foreign government. Many of I communicate with a lot of them. They see an opening here, okay? They see an opening with the Trump administration to talk more openly. They're still very guarded about it. But I heard this a lot during the Obama years. And now they feel like if they can just get this message to Trump, they can clean some of this stuff up. So it's going to be incumbent upon this president and his team to be aggressive in cleaning up this problem. And if I were him, I would encourage and welcome a second special counsel to investigate the investigators. And I would also, we talked about the
FISA abuse memo. That's the secret court, and they approve these wiretaps. Well, not really wiretaps anymore because it's all, you know, high-tech electronics, but basically gathering information on American citizens. They approve these things. They're all, it's all private, all confidential. The American people don't know about it. And I've not seen the memo, but based upon comments that friends, members of Congress, who have seen this, this is really bad. And they're pushing for the American public to see it. Now, this is this reauthorization, as I was talking with Congressman Biggs about, was approved in the House just, well, I guess right before Christmas. It was, let me see, it was approved, see if I've got that in front of me. I don't see it, but it was approved before Christmas. And now it goes to now the Senate last week, I believe, also voted 65-34 to reauthorize a FISA provision that allows U.S. spy agencies to conduct surveillance on foreign targets abroad for 6 years. Now, as I said, it passed the House. I'm not sure if the president has signed it into law yet, but that's the only way to stop it. This is troubling. And we need to weigh in with our members of Congress to encourage them to vote to release this information, this four-page FISA document. And as I mentioned, Congressman Goodlatte, who is the chairman of the committee has to approve to release it. They are in the process of going through the steps necessary to release this memo to the public, hopefully sometime in early February is what they're saying. That needs to happen. I think we need accountability. I don't think we need to jeopardize our ability to protect the country. I get all that. But, this is a classic example. Back when I was in office in the wake of 9/11 and there was the Patriot Act and states began to pass their versions of it to give the government more ability to collect information on quote-unquote suspects. I opposed it. In fact, I was one of, one of the few Republicans that opposed it. It was for this reason. Because we need sunshine. We need oversight of government and not allow them to collect this information. It now appears that President Trump, who was mocked and ridiculed for saying that the Obama administration spied on him, well, suggested he knew what he was talking about. All right, when we come back, I do want to hit quickly a New York Times story that once again shows why the media wants to make news rather than report it. And then we're going to be taking your phone calls. All right, so get ready. We're going to talk about the FBI, the Department of Justice. Are you concerned about Big Brother having too much ability to snoop and not have oversight? We're going to talk about that when we return here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're a Twitter user, it is at T Perkins. Okay, I just confirmed we are going to have Chairman Goodlatte on tomorrow. We're going to talk more about this FBI thing with him. And by the way, the president did on Friday, I believe it was Friday, reauthorize the FISA provision that we were just discussing. So that's back into effect. So here's what I want to talk about here. I'm going to open up the phone lines in just a moment after I talk about this New York Times story. Special counsel, and these are rare. You don't see them a lot. But it is a decision by the attorney general to appoint a special counsel. Now, Congress, they can't do it, but they can call for it. And so now there is, especially in the wake of this FISA memo and these lost text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and evidence to suggest that there was a quote-unquote secret society at the FBI that met a day after the election to plot against the president-elect. Well, there is now growing support for a special counsel, a second special counsel, basically to investigate the investigators. What do you think? Should there be an investigation of these investigators that appear to have their objectivity has been compromised, to say the least? All right, that's what we're going to talk about here. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And so as you're calling in, I want to turn my attention just for a moment to a story that was today in the New York Times. The headline was, Wary, Weary, or Both, Southern Lawmakers Tone Down Culture Wars. Now, the whole essence of this, it's captured in the first paragraph, is this. With elections looming and major corporations watching, the social issues that have provoked bitter fights in recent years across the conservative South, including restroom access for transgender people and so-called
I like that, so-called, religious freedom measures are gaining little legislative momentum in state houses this year. Oh, really? Really? Now, could it be, and the whole essence of the story is that there's no interest in this, that people really don't care about this, that lawmakers are, well, they're just, you know what, they don't want to be messed up and tied up with these icky social issues. Well, here's the reality, okay? There's no need to spend all the legislative time on these issues about who uses a bathroom because we no longer have the bathroom in chief, Barack Obama. Recall, it was the White House that put down an order, sent down an order through the Department of Justice and the Department of Education as to who could use what bathroom. Basically, bathroom confusion. That was what that former president was occupied with. Well, now we have a president who understands the confines of the White House in terms of its limits by the Constitution. And so shortly after taking office, the Department of Justice and the Department of Education sent down corrective orders saying, that's not our business. You handle who does their business where. That's not our business. So there's not the need. We no longer have the most pro-abortion president in the history of America sitting in the Oval Office. The American people rejected that agenda. And we have what could prove to be, and he's on a good track to do it, to be arguably the most pro-life president. So could it be that the liberal media, once again, is wanting to put their spin, if not create news, as opposed to report it? Look, we're already tracking a number of things in the states that they're doing cleanup. They don't have to do as much because it's not being forced down their throats by the federal government. But Missouri, Minnesota, they're working on some life-related bills. So is Florida, Maryland, Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi moving to defund Planned Parenthood. I mean, religious liberty already been introduced in Oklahoma. West Virginia, working, they've got a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I mean, there's several bills going. So this is just more trying to say that these issues have lost interest with the American people and lawmakers. No, it's that they can do other things now. And we're thankful for that. It's interesting. It's not the Republicans and conservatives and evangelicals that are preoccupied with these issues. They're forced to defend normality. And they're not going to be silent and stand by and let government bureaucrats bully them, which is what happened during 8 years of Barack Obama. Anyway, tomorrow we're going to be talking about this as well. Glenn Stanton is going to join me, and we're going to take on another element that that is a key plank of the liberal media, and that is evangelicalism. Christianity is dying in America, and its influence is withering. We're going to talk about that. It's actually the opposite. Liberal churches are dying because they preach mush, but those churches that preach the gospel and its application to the world around us are actually growing. We're going to talk about that tomorrow with Glenn Stanton. But for now, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Should we see a second special counsel appointed by the Attorney General to investigate the investigators? Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I think we need a special counsel. I think one of the biggest regrets, you know, Trump was not a politician when he went in there, and he certainly wouldn't have selected Jeff Sessions if he knew he was going to recuse himself. And I think one of the ways Sessions can redeem himself is to appoint a special counsel. I don't understand why it's taking so long. You know, Washington moves slow and the swamp's deeper than any of us imagined. But when the Freedom Caucus and Jordan laid out the case for the need for a second special counsel, I mean, a freshman law student could have seen it. And the session has seemed extremely hesitant to say he would do it. So I don't know if he's setting them up or something, but he's not instilling a lot of confidence in me. I believe he's a good, honorable man, but I mean, there needs to be a special counsel with or without Sessions. They need to get the ball rolling. So thanks for all you do. Thanks for your insight, and keep doing what you do.
All right, Joe, thanks so much for the call. Here's where I can't speak for Jeff Sessions, obviously, but I know him quite well. You know, before he got into politics, he was an attorney. He was a U.S. attorney. And so he is a law and order guy. And so I think he is wanting to make sure he can clearly separate the political from, you know, what his role is now is purely non-political. And I think he's overly cautious about that. And I think, yeah, I think he is overly cautious. But I trust him. And I think he will, the evidence now is mounting, the call is building, and I think he will have to, I would think he would have to agree to a second special counsel. Let's go to Richmond, Virginia, where Scott's on the line. Scott, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking my call. I think a special counsel should have been named months ago. However, having said that, you know, I guess I'm just becoming jaded and skeptical that anything will even come of it. You know, not in my lifetime have I seen anything where, other than Bill Clinton's impeachment, but he was eventually acquitted, from the Senate. But I can't remember in my lifetime, and I'm 46, a top political figure going to jail as a result of, you know, their misdeeds. So, I think it's a lot of show, and unfortunately, it just shows that there's a two-tiered justice system here.
I understand your concern, Scott, and they're probably shared by a lot of folks, especially after the last 8 years when we actually had an attorney general who was being held in contempt of Congress for failing to legitimately release documents to them regarding the Fast and Furious scandal. So I get it, Scott. I understand. Thanks so much for the call. And look, it's a legitimate concern. Will they come up with anything? I think that's why Congress has to stay on this. In some ways, this is going to end up, I think, being like a political jiu-jitsu for the Democrats, because, you know, they were all behind this. Let's investigate Trump and this collusion with Russia. And, you know, this is being turned on them. Their own political moves are being reversed, and it's exposing the corruption that was within their Justice Department. But I think it's going to show up a whole lot more. It's going to reveal a whole lot more. All right, let's go to Bonnie in Texas. Bonnie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say that I think there definitely needs to be a special investigation on these people that are investigating President Trump. I never thought there was any Russian collusion. I thought it was just a lot of smoke and fire. And I have been praying and praying that something like this happens and that righteousness and justice is served. And I think that four-page document needs to be made public to the American people, and those people need to be prosecuted.
Well said, Bonnie. And I join you in that prayer. And I think righteousness and justice needs to prevail regardless of what political party is attached to it. Okay? I don't care if it's Republican. I don't care if it's Democrat. Look. We have to have justice. Justice is really a cornerstone of democracy. And just as we were talking about, people become disheartened. And when they become disheartened, they become disengaged. And the worst thing to happen in a democracy, we're really a republic, a representative republic, constitutional republic, when the citizens disengage because they're disheartened, that's when we see the destruction of the republic, because then corruption runs unchecked. And so, folks, by all means, stay involved. Make the phone call. You think it doesn't matter? look, be grateful that we have the ability to speak into the system. And this is the time to move. This is the time to make the differences. We may never have this opportunity again. All right, let's go to Violet in Baton Rouge. Violet, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I do not trust Jeff Sessions anymore. I'm extremely disappointed in him. He has been stalling for months to appoint a special counsel to investigate the special counsel or the Clintons. And he should have already issued warrants for the arrest of many of those Obama officials for obstructing justice and violating the law, and the Clintons as well. And he hasn't done it. He keeps stalling. So I've lost all confidence and all faith in him.
And Violet, I understand. I understand that, Violet.
There.
Yeah, I understand. I can't speak for Jeff Sessions. I do know him quite well. I know him to be a very honorable man, law-abiding Christian man. I think that he's overly cautious, and I've communicated that to him. I do know that, and I don't know this from him because he can't talk about these things, but I know from others that there are investigations that are reaching a point of conclusion on some of these some of the players from the previous administration. So we may see something in the coming days. Would I like to have seen him move faster? Probably so. But I think he's being very, very cautious so as not.
Let me ask you this. I think there is plenty of evidence to arrest some of those people. And he keeps saying there's not enough evidence.
Well,
do you think there's plenty of evidence?
Well, evidence. There is evidence that there was wrongdoing, but reaching a point of probable cause to make an arrest and detain someone or bring charges is a different thing. Now, can some of that be submitted to a grand jury and we see the grand jury take action? I hope that is the case. Again, I would like to have seen him move quicker than he has, but I still have confidence in Jeff Sessions as a good man. Violet, thanks so much for the call, and I appreciate you listening. Well, folks, we're almost out of time, so I'm not going to get to the rest of the phone calls, but I do want to encourage you to tune in tomorrow. I've got a great program already lined up for you tomorrow. We're going to get the chairman planning. We'll see. You know, things on the Hill always change things. But we're going to try to get the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, on, and we're going to talk about some of these things. And also, you don't want to miss that interview with Glenn Stanton on the state of the church, Christianity in America. Folks, by all means, don't get discouraged, okay? Don't listen to the fake news. Don't allow them to make you ashamed for standing up and supporting the policies of this administration. In fact, I'm going to be on CNN tonight. Discussing this with the latest revelations of something the president did 10 years ago and those suggesting that evangelicals should peel off. Look, he's been walking the straight and narrow for the last year, and he's been pushing policies that are the most conservative this country's seen in years. All right, folks, out of time, but thanks for joining us. I leave you with this from the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.